Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Blog Talk Radio and LombardiAv.com, where for the next 30 minutes we will be talking everything Green Bay Packers for as much as our time allows. Hello everyone, I am your host, Davey Miller, and welcome to our show. We have a newcomer on the sports panel this morning. He's a regular contributor as a staff writer at LombardiAv.com. But I'd like to welcome Kevin Dickens. Kevin, how are you this morning? And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
How's everybody doing? Kevin Dickens, devoted Packer fan from Kansas City, Missouri. Follow me on Twitter at IWriteForPackers. Graduate from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, and glad to be on the show.
Well, we're certainly glad to have you, Dan, and we're excited to hear your insights as we move along forward in the show. Also along with us is panel regular Dan Terzinski. Dan needs no introduction. He is an intern at LombardiAv.com, and his insights is what makes this show go. Dan, good morning. And let me start off with you with the first question of the day. Maybe a little bit of a shocker, Dan, but I did a poll on Sunday prior to the Viking game asking, would you trade Eddie Lacy for Adrian Peterson straight up if the Vikings would make such an offer? This was all speculation. Over 1,200 of our readers responded. 63% said they would not trade Lacy for Peterson. Number one, does that surprise you? And number two, what do you think of that?
It's a little surprising. I guess it's the season for these trade rumors and all a bunch of rumors like that to come out. I've heard the Packers should go after Tony Gonzalez, Larry Fitzgerald. I think it's just the time of the year. It's a little surprising, but again, at the same time, it's not surprising since it was a Packers website that we asked, and it's all Packers readers. They never want to give up their players, and that's how I feel about it, too. I mean, Adrian Peterson is going to be 29 years old at the end of the season. He's already had a major knee injury, clearly on the downside of his career as running backs. When they hit to the 30 mark, their game slowly declines. Maybe Adrian Peterson won't be one of those because he's a freak of nature. But still, I'll take the 22-year-old Eddie Lacy in his rookie year. He's been very productive for the Packers, got 29 carries on Sunday night against the Vikings. The future is really bright for Lacy, so I would take Lacy in a heartbeat over Adrian Peterson right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would too. And, you know, Lacy also had 4 receptions, so he had 33 touches in that game. Quite a few for the young buck. He said he'd never carried the ball 29 times in any game at any level, including high school. So hopefully, you know, his success can continue. But I like the fact that James Starks can come in and relieve him for a series or two, maybe get those carries back down to where he was running 22, 23 carries at a game and leave it at that. Because you get up there around Ron Dane numbers of 30 carries plus a game, I think you just asked, that's over 300 carries over the remainder of the season. I don't think you want him to do that. But I think also the 35% that wanted Peterson probably were visiting Vikings readers. So I think if it was just a pure Packer site, that percentage probably would even be higher. Now, Kevin, your first question as a Lombardi Ave podcaster, what did you take away from that Vikings win on Sunday by the Packers? Was it that the defense, running defense, is more validated now that they used a measuring stick like Adrian Peterson and held him to 60 yards? Or in addition to that, was there other things that you took away from the game? Why don't you give us your assessment of what all took place last Sunday?
It's kind of hard to say. You know, that just the 13 carries, it's hard to predict what Adrian might have been doing if he had, you know, 20 to 25 carries. I thought that the defense was doing well, but the offense kind of aided them when we got the ball in the second half to score right away. They kind of took him out of the game. It kind of forced the Vikings to go ahead and have to go to the air and try to keep up with the Packers. So it's kind of a hard measuring stick. So, you know, it's Adrian Peterson. He gets stronger as the game goes on, but I do think the defense has been playing mighty well. And I think going forward, I mean, that's probably the toughest test we'll face. So, you know, I think we held up pretty well, but going forward in the future, I just think we need to keep focused on stopping the run, and that'll help our defense all the way around, including against the pass.
Yeah, I was having flashbacks in that Vikings game because Peterson, you know, when you're running behind like that, you always tend to go away from the running game. As you mentioned, Peterson only had 13 carries. I remember when Childress was the coach, he never utilized Peterson properly against the Packers. When he should have been feeding it to Peterson 25 times a game, he was feeding it to him about 13 times. No complaints on this end, but as a football fan looking in, they were misutilizing Peterson the whole time that Brad Childress was their head coach. Let me throw this one out to Dan Terzinski. And then I'm going to ask you, Andrew, the same question, so kind of get your thinking cap on here. First off with Dan, how's the NFC looking from the Packers' perspective? What can we see going forward? Who's going to be our biggest competitors up ahead? And just what's your overall assessment and maybe the power rankings of where the Packers fall in that NFC conference?
Personally, I think the NFC is way better than the AFC. I mean, you have teams from top to bottom that could very well win the conference. The Packers have to look no further than their own division at the moment, though. They have just a half-game lead over the Detroit Lions for first place in the NFC North. The Lions got, I don't know if you'd call it a lucky victory or a signature victory Sunday. It's certainly impressive either way. Their comeback on that last drive, Matthew Stafford, was brilliant. So it doesn't look like the Lions are going to fade anytime soon like we had all hoped they would, or that we're used to at least. The Bears, they lose Jay Cutler for a month or so. That could be detrimental to their team. They have a big game at Lambeau Field this Monday night. I don't think the Bears will be there at the end of the year, but the Lions, I mean, all you have to do is throw up to Calvin Johnson. That guy comes down with everything. So they could be trouble for the Packers, especially on Thanksgiving Day. The rest of the NFC is very good. You have to look out to the west. The Niners and Seahawks are two very good teams. Seahawks just squeaked out last night on the one-yard line against the Rams on Monday Night Football. They didn't look particularly impressive. And if you can avoid going to Seattle in the playoffs, they struggle on the road mightily. So that's a team that you're going to want to have come to your place. I don't think they could beat the 49ers, the Packers, or even the Saints on the road in a playoff game. So getting them, they need to pile up some losses here because it'd be a nightmare for any team to have to go to Seattle. The 49ers, we've already lost to them once this year, so they're obviously still a pretty good team. Their defense hasn't been the same without Alden Smith, but they're still a top-five defense. Offensively, when they get Mario Manningham back, Michael Crabtree, they're going to be dangerous again. You got the Saints, too. Saints are 6-1 now. That's another place that you're going to want to avoid in the playoffs if at all possible. Drew Brees and Sean Payton have come back together, and they've played very well. There's a lot of teams out there that the Packers have to worry about, but they have a lot they can control. It's all on them. Right now, they're sitting good. If they play the rest of the season out this way, they'll have at least one home game, and it's always tough to win at Lambeau in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, Calvin, if Dan left you anything left to talk about, what can you add to what the big guy said about that NFC conference? From a Packers perspective, in your opinion, what's it looking like?
I think my opinion differs from Dan. I don't really see the Detroit Lions as a challenger. I think the victory they had the other day, as great as the performance it was by Calvin Johnson, that should have been a game they really lost. The fact that Dallas, you know, doesn't have everything together on defense is the only reason why they're a half game still behind the Packers. As usual, I think the Bears will fade that injury to Jay Cutler. Is a huge injury. I don't think they can keep up their momentum going forward. I really see the NFC as a four-team race. I see it as the Packers, the Saints, the Seahawks, and the 49ers. And I think the greatest asset about Green Bay is that they have Aaron Rodgers, and he is phenomenal on the road. I don't think you can say the same for the other quarterbacks. I think that, you know, Drew Brees has his struggles on the road. I think that Russell Wilson, as we saw last night with them playing against the Rams, still struggles on the road. And I do think that the verdict may be out on Colin Kaepernick. I think if you kind of lay off the option read and kind of force him to throw, he's kind of shaky at that point. I think Green Bay had to find that out the hard way in the first game of the season. But it's always tough, you know, to prepare for somebody the first game of the season because they've got all summer to prepare for you. But I think in a rematch, I think the Packers would be successful. The run game is better. Offensive line is more gelled. I think the defense is much, much improved. I think they beat the 49ers. I think they would welcome playing Seattle again, you know, according to the fail Mary that we had to witness last year. And I think the toughest challenge really would be getting past the Saints. And I think if we were to win out and the Saints had a few losses, getting them in Green Bay would take us to the Super Bowl. So that is my perspective. I think, you know, it's a four-team race, and I think the Packers have great odds against the top four contenders.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think you nailed some things right there, too, because my biggest fear, you know, I always go into every game thinking we could win because we got an elite quarterback. Well, guess what? The New Orleans Saints has an elite quarterback as well, and he is every bit, and I mean every bit, as good as Aaron Rodgers. That's how much I think of Drew Brees, and that's how much I fear Drew Brees. I think if the playoffs went through Lambeau Field, our chances would certainly increase of making it to the Super Bowl. If we had to go to New Orleans, I would call it even. Up in Seattle, I really don't fear those guys. I think Eddie Lacy and our offensive line and Andrew Corliss, you know, they can kind of maybe shut up a Ray Sherman on that third level and just kind of take it to Bobby Wagner and just play right at the teeth of that Seattle defense. Yeah, they're fast as all get out, but when you got Aaron Rodgers controlling it, now you got a balanced attack in December and January with Eddie Lacy in a running game, I'm excited. I look at this as opportunities for the Green Bay Packers to have a Super Bowl year. But one team that, and I agree with all of with the four teams, the Niners, I think we can beat them no matter where we play them. The Saints, whoever has the home game is going to win that one. I think we can beat Seattle. I think the trump card is the Dallas Cowboys. Historically, we've never played well at Cowboy Stadium. And if we'd ever have to play them on the road, and I don't know if we would, but if that scenario came up and we had to play the Cowboys on the road, I think that could give us some trouble. Is Tony Romo an elite quarterback? He's one of the most debated quarterbacks out there. Is he or isn't he? Well, I don't know, but I don't want him to be an elite quarterback if we play him in the playoffs. So I think that's kind of the trump card. Detroit, I don't know. I don't think they've got it either. I don't like the discipline on that team. I think Jim Schwartz is not that great of a coach. I think it benefits the Packers the longer he's in that coaching seat because I just don't think they're ever going to go anywhere with Jim Schwartz as the head man there. And now, Kevin, this is going to segue us into a question that I wanted to ask you. Packers have 9 games left on their schedule. And looking at the schedule, you know, for a supposedly first-place schedule, that schedule's become a little bit softer because of the injuries to some of the teams up ahead, like the Bears, who we played twice, the Atlanta Falcons with their receiving corps shot. Steven Jackson's been up and down. How do you see the schedule? Who's our most formidable opponents from now to the end of the season?
Looking at the schedule, as you're right, it has softened. You know, when I first took a look at it, seeing the Giants and the Falcons and Pittsburgh on the schedule kind of made me nervous. But as I go down the stretch, I see every game is a very winnable game for Green Bay. The healthier we get, the better we get. Offense is playing outstanding. I always fear the Giants. I know the Giants look, you know, like they're in disarray. Looks like they're kind of coming around now. They've kind of got Green Bay's number. And, you know, it's still kind of the same team that beat us, you know, a couple years ago out in Lambeau and hammered us on a Sunday night out there in MetLife Stadium. And then down the stretch, I know you guys, you talked about, you know, Green Bay struggling in Dallas, but this isn't the same Green Bay team. Aaron Rodgers is phenomenal indoors where the Cowboys play, and we won the Super Bowl in Jerry Land. Although they weren't there, he plays well on the road. I don't see them being a challenge. Really, I see maybe the second game against the Bears with Jay Cutler being back, maybe them scrapping and clawing and try to get back into the playoff picture, being a game that could possibly be tough for us. But I see, you know, maybe the last bit of challenges being the Giants on the road and that away game last at Chicago, only because they might be struggling to try to get into the playoffs. I think we'll be comfortable by then, and that might be one we let get away, kind of like what we did in Minnesota last year.
So what do you think their record's going to be just for fun at this point, not holding anybody's feet to the fire, but as teams stand now injury-wise and looking forward to the last nine games, we're 5-2 now. What do you think our record's going to be at the end of the year based on this schedule we're looking at today?
I think at best we're looking at 13-3. I think if anything at worst we're looking at 11-5. I don't see any formidable challenge. I think Atlanta might have just packed it in Arizona last week, as bad as they've played. I think the Giants still have a fighting chance to maybe get back in the NFC East picture, so that might be a tough challenge. And then down the road, you know, maybe a Thanksgiving game with Detroit, but I still don't think they're good enough to beat us. And maybe just that game with Chicago at the end, you know, just because it's the end game and we might be comfortable. But other than that, I see us really running the table. I think I love this team. I love the balance. I love the fact that, you know, we've lost playmakers and we still continue to play very well. The defense is getting better, and it's getting better without Clay Matthews. You know, Casey Hayward just got back, and we're still gelling. The defensive line is playing outstanding. They're rotating
preacher,
well.
Brother, preacher.
Yeah, I know Gerald Worthy is chomping at the bit to get back on the field. Offensive line play. I just see this team doing some really big things, and Aaron Rodgers talks about it, and Mike McCarthy all the time, how they think this team is special, and I think this team is special, and I think the key to success is running the ball, the two-back combination, James Starks and Eddie Lacy, and letting Aaron get his playmakers back. And throwing the ball and really taking it to people and getting back to the promised land, Super Bowl.
And I tell you what, you got me excited dancing over here because that's exactly the way. I think this is a special year too. I mean, I've been saying that since the off season about how we're going to be a much more physical football team, and that certainly has played out. Dan, I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to go back and ask. Kevin, this as well. You know, that defensive line of the Packers, I mean, that's a difference between night and day from what it was last year with virtually the same personnel. You got a Johnny Jolly that's new to the foray, Dayton Jones, and a healthy Mike Daniels who was kind of playing at 75% last year. Josh Boyd's just kind of tucked away on the 53-man roster for the future. But getting to my question, Dan, what is the biggest difference? Why is that defensive line playing lights out against the run? I mean, I think they're the heart and soul of the football team. Did another poll on that, 63% said that Aaron Rodgers is, but I think they didn't understand what the heart of the team means. I think 27% said the defensive line. What key element or ingredients or people, or is it a combination of just everybody? What is making our defensive line one of the top rushing defensive in all of football when last year and the year before they were kind of like powder puffs?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head earlier. It's the depth there. The depth wasn't there the last few seasons. You get Johnny Jolly back off the suspension. You draft a guy like Josh Boyd, although he hasn't played much. You know, he's still in a rotation. He's still a big body to move around in there. You still got Ryan Pickett doing work at 33 years young. B.J. Raji has looked a lot better than he has over the last 2 years. Mike Daniels has been, in my opinion, the breakout player of the year for the Packers. Eddie Lacy may give him a run for his money, but he'll probably win the Rookie of the Year there. Just everybody gelling at once. Nick Perry's played a lot better. Mike Neal switched to the outside linebacker. Clay Matthews has played well earlier in the year, too, before his injury. There's just a lot more bodies there, so that means that they're fresh throughout the course of the game. Anybody that knows football knows that the game is one in the trenches between the offensive line and defensive line, and those are the two arguably the two biggest units that have improved for the Packers from 2012 to 2013. And it's no reason why they've dominated football games at times. It's because those two units have been very good. Even with the starting rookie left tackle, fourth rounder, Barkley has struggled at times, recently to be exact. But they both units have played very well, and it's no mistake that the Packers are 5-2.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think the intangible element there is, too, on that defensive line, in what Johnny Jolly and Mike Daniels bring to the forefront as far as attitude goes. Those two are barroom brawlers. Those are the type that will pick up a chain or brick or a bat and help their teammates out, figuratively speaking. And, Kevin, you got anything to add to that? What's your thoughts on the play of the defensive line and comparing it this year to last year? What's been the biggest difference to you?
I think the biggest difference is a full off season. You know, last year it was shortened. Guys didn't have a lot of time to prepare. You know, we were really young last year on the defensive line. We had a lot of rookies that we were going to have to, you know, step in and play. They weren't really ready to play yet. But with the full off season, they're more confident. I think they're stronger. I really think Johnny Jolly coming back has been a huge boost. I think he brings attitude. I think he brings leadership. I think he brings veteranship to the team. He gives, you know, they provide depth. I know, you know, B.J. Raji isn't playing as many snaps, which is keeping him fresh, more active. Ryan Pickett at the same time. I just think those guys are like a band of brothers. They love each other. They're looking out for each other. They understand. They talk more. They're a lot more physical. And that's done nothing but great things for the defense. That's helped our secondary because now we're able to get after the quarterback. You know, Clay Matthews has got some help now with Nick Perry coming along. He's understanding the defensive scheme a lot better. I think, you know, when Dayton Jones gets a few more snaps, he's going to kick in. He's going to be a huge force for us later on in the year. I think this defensive line is where it starts for the Packers. The better they play, the better the rest of the defensive plays, the more pressure it takes off of our secondary. And I thought our secondary has looked absolutely great. Devon House, I think, has looked outstanding. In the absence of Casey Hayward, I'm glad that he's back. He's going to be a tremendous force. I think M.D. Jennings and Jerome McMillan are coming along. I think this Packers defense is bound to do some special things. And I know people are still doubting us, but I think as the year goes on, they're going to prove those naysayers wrong. And I think this defense, you know, as quiet as it's kept, has carried our offense when we were going through turmoil. And you know, that's not something we could have said, you know, for the last couple of years. So I think, you know, this defensive line is getting there, and we're going to do some special things.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think it is the physical play and the depth of our front seven that has really made the difference on that defensive side of the ball. And you mentioned just about every player on defense except a trio of players who just sits back there quietly. And I think as the games go deeper into the season, these guys are going to start coming up. And that's Tremont Williams, Sam Shields, and Morgan Burnett. Those three back there. Remember Sam Shields against Atlanta? Tremont Williams against Atlanta? Both of those guys in the playoffs, how they just pick sixes and intercepted at the end of halves and just the difference that they made. Well, those three are all healthy, and as you mentioned, the back end is playing well. And that trio of players, along with your Casey Haywoods, your Micah Hydes, you whoever else you put back there, Banjo, they're going to be playing well, and collectively the whole defense. Guys, darn it, the whole team is playing well. We're on a four-game winning streak. Everything's looking up. It's just everything's positive right now. Okay, that's going to lead us to our Packer predictions. We're starting to run a little short on time. Big Dan, I'm going to start with you first. Give me about 2 minutes. Give me your Packer predictions on this Monday night against the Bears at Lambeau Field and your reason why your score is what you say it's going to be. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's officially Bears week. This is my favorite. These 2 weeks when we play the Bears are my favorite two of the NFL season. I love sports best rivalry. Not just the NFL best rivalry. This is definitely sports best rivalry. I love seeing the Packers and Bears play each other, especially in Lambeau under the lights. There's nothing better than Lambeau Field under the lights.
I agree.
The Packers are going to win this game. No Jay Cutler obviously makes it easier for Green Bay, but even throw Jay Cutler in there, I mean, he's been a mess at Lambeau Field, to say the least. I mean, he's never won at Lambeau Field as a starting quarterback in the NFL. He just plays horrible there, so I don't think it would be any difference with McCown in there compared to Cutler. The Packers just have the Bears' numbers, and they're going to do it in front of the national spotlight on Monday night. I think the Packers win 27-13.
27-13, you said, Dan?
Yep.
Okay. Kevin, give us your thoughts on what the score is going to be against the Bears on Monday night, and why do you think that's going to be? Go ahead.
Yeah, as Dan said, I love Bears week. It always gets you excited as a Packers fan. And I think with the success we're experiencing right now, it doesn't stop. I think it's always a tough game. I think the loss of Jay Cutler takes a little steam out of it. But, you know, as a real Packer fan, you know that it doesn't matter who's playing back there. It's going to be a tough game. I think Green Bay is going to continue to roll. I expect Eddie Lacy to continue his march towards Rookie of the Year. Hopefully maybe James Jones will be back and, you know, we can get that aerial attack even more potent. And I expect Green Bay to come out and put on a show on the national spotlight as they did Sunday night against the Vikings. I expect the Packers to go ahead and continue their dominance in the NFC North and go ahead and pull out I'll go right along with Dan. I'll go 27-10 Green Bay.
27-10 Green Bay. Neither one of you are seeing much firepower from the Bears side of things, and rightfully so with the injuries that they've got on that side of the ball. You know, they got, I think Forte is healthy. That's going to be a weapon that the Packers are going to have to stop, but that's always their first priority is to stop the run. On the other side of the ball, I think it's Eddie Lacy and more of the same with James Starks coming in relief. I really like that. I'd like to see Eddie Lacy stay around less than 25 touches a game, including receptions. If he can stay under 25, maybe like 21 carries and 4 receptions, I say no more than that. Hopefully keep it down to around 22 or 23 carries. But either way, that man's a horse. He's got Packerland excited. He's becoming everyone's favorite player, including mine. He's been my favorite player since we drafted him the night we drafted him, simply because that's what the Packers have lacked, was a physical, toughness, bruising running back on offense. Bears 17, Green Bay Packers 41. That's my score for Monday night. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. We'd like to thank you for listening. Please be sure and tell your friends that they can catch us at LombardiAv.com 24/7 on an archived podcast. For Kevin Dickens and Dan Trzynski, I'm Davey Miller from Blog Talk Radio. Have a good day, everybody. Goodbye. Are you guys there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, good show. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. We got 10 seconds. If you want to do it again next week, just give me an email and I'll set that up for you. You did a good job.
Okay. I'll be glad
All
to
right.
do it.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.